Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from a book entitled The Christian in Complete Armor. It's by William Gurnall. He was the English Bible scholar and pastor who died in 1679. We're still talking about the Christian's spiritual shoe, which is one of the items of our Christian armor. And in the middle of a discussion about an exhortation to nourish peace. An exhortation to nourish peace. Part two, Christians should seek peace for their own sakes. Your relationships call for unity. Paul says of those who are believers, you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Not only children of God by creation, but by faith in Christ Jesus. Because he is the foundation of a new brotherhood of believers, he has set you close to other saints. You were conceived in the same womb of the church, begotten by the same seed of the word, whereby, as has been said, you became brothers of the whole blood. Joseph's heart went out more to Benjamin than to any of his other brothers, because he was his brother by both father and mother. If the body of Christ disagrees, who can agree? Christ has taken care to remove every occasion for quarreling from the saints. So this makes their dissension both childish and sinful. Sometimes a child becomes grieved if his parents' affection is given to others rather than to himself. When this happens, he envies them and they despise him. But there is no such favoritism in God's family. Each one is cherished exactly alike by the Son of God. Walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us. That's Ephesians 5:2. Christ in the church is like the soul to the body. Every member in Christ has all of him, his whole heart and love, as if he were the only person to enjoy the Savior. A natural father often shows great unfairness in the distribution of his estate. Not all his children are heirs. And this sows the seed of strife among them, as Jacob found by experience. But Christ has made out his will so that all are provided for alike, a provision called the common salvation and the inheritance of the saints in light, Jude verse 3 and Colossians 1:12. Each may enjoy his happiness without disturbing anyone else, as millions of people who look on the same sun at the same time, no one stands in another's light. Jesus silenced all misunderstanding and preference when he prayed, "The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one," John 17:22. No person can envy another for having more than himself when he sees that the glory is his too. True it is that differences exist in Christians' outward or natural gifts. Some are rich in them, others are poor. But are these endowments important enough to wage war over among those who all wait for the same heaven? Next, consider whose territory you are in. Are you not living in the midst of enemies? The rivalry between Abraham's herdmen and Lot's was aggravated by the presence of neighboring heathens. It says there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. For God's people to quarrel while idolaters look on provides vulgar street talk which dishonors both them and their religion. Now tell me, who are these people who have been in our land all the time God's men have been scuffling among themselves? Satan's spies have curiously observed every shred of uncomely behavior among Christians and have told the whole world about it. And these carnal ones are equipped with plenty of malicious ability to use this contention for their own ungodly purposes. They stand on tiptoes, in fact, to get on with the work of completely disabling saints who have wounded one another. They sincerely hope to undo us in this way. Then they will cure us of our wounds by inflicting one so deep that it pierces the heart of our life, gospel and all. Oh, Christians, will you let Herod and Pilate disgrace you? They joined forces in a facade of peace to strengthen their hands against Christ. Are you unwilling to unite against the common enemy of the Lord Jesus? It is a tragic time for shipmates to argue when an enemy is drilling a hole in the bottom of your ship. Next, consider the consequences of contention. Five major results of Christian contention. Number one, you put a stop to the growth of grace. A person's soul cannot prosper when it is inflamed with strife any more than a physical body can enjoy a fever. Just as this fire in the bones must be quenched and brought down to a normal temperature again, so must the unkindly fire among Christians be put out. The Apostle Paul shows how men with weak grace can flourish. His cure is a composition of sincerity and love. If these qualities are preserved, the whole body will edify itself in love. I pray that in these end times, Christians will be lifted from the mire of self-centeredness to the place of speaking the truth in love, or being sincere in love. It is Christ's desire that every son and daughter may grow up unto him in all things. Number two, you cut off communication with the throne of grace. It's impossible to go from wrangling to praying with a free spirit. And even if you should be so bold as to knock at God's door, you'll receive a cold welcome. Leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Matthew 5:24. God will not eat our leavened bread, that is, taste any prayer soured with bitterness of spirit. First the peace was renewed and a covenant of friendship and love made between Laban and Jacob, before Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount and called his brethren to eat bread. Even heathens realized that no serious business could ever be transacted by quarreling spirits. This is why Roman senators used to visit their temple and lay down their controversies before they entered the Senate floor to address themselves to state affairs. Do we dare approach God's altar and bow in prayer while our hearts are swollen with anger and envy? O God, humble us. Number three, you cut off communication with other Christians. Just as no nation grows everything it needs, but must import some goods from other countries, no Christian can live without borrowing from his brothers. There is that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Truly, Christians' greatest gains come from their mutual sharing of grace, ministry, and power. For instance, Paul told the Christians at Rome that he longed to see them so that he could impart some spiritual gift to them. He said that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Divisions spoil all intercourse among believers. They're as destructive to Christian communion as the plague is to the trade of a market town. Communication flows from communion, and a communion which is founded upon union. The church grows under persecution and trial. Believers scatter seed all over the field, taking the gospel to places where it has never been before, but divisions, like a furious storm, wash the seed out of the land. Next, you hazard the decay of grace and growth of sin. Contention opens the door for more and more corruption to come in. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, James 3:14. That is, do not think you are such good Christians, for even if you had the knowledge and gifts of heavenly beings, this sin would make you look more like devils than angels. James gives the reason for his statement in the words, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Contention is Satan's forge, and if he can heat up the Christian, he can soften him for his hammer of temptation to do whatever it will. When Moses, for example, had an overheated spirit, he spoke unwisely. It is no small sin, then, which makes it impossible for a man caught in its snare to do even one righteous act. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. That's James 1:20. Number five, contentions are forerunners of judgment. A lowering sky forecasts rain. Mariners start looking for a storm at sea when the waves begin to swell with a murmuring noise. Thus, judgment is breeding when the faces of Christians grow dim with discontentment, like the rumbling of thunder before a tempest. When children fight, they can expect their father to come and separate them with his rod of correction. God's prophet shall turn the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Malachi 4:6. Strife sets people next door to a curse, for God brings heavy judgment on a people when he leaves them. Scripture implies that quarrelsome people cannot expect God to stay among them very long. If the captain abandons the ship, we can be sure it's about to sink. Be of one mind, Paul admonished. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you, 2 Corinthians 13:11. God came by Moses to bring great deliverance to the Israelites, and as a token of all the good that God would do for them, Moses tried to make peace between two discontented brothers. But his kindness was not accepted, and the rejection resulted in many more years' misery in Egypt for the Israelites. Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian. After that, there was no intention or mention of deliverance for 40 years. Have not our rejections of God's healing peace made mercy run away and leave us to groan about the hard times that we're having? Now, the third item in this exhortation, Christians should seek peace for others' sake. Augustine advised Christians not to despair of the salvation of wicked men, but to give themselves to the peace and unity which would encourage them to seek after godliness. Remember, the only place God has to call his children from is the world. We can pave a way for the salvation of the ungodly by letting them see the truth and ways of God in our love toward our brothers and sisters in Christ. This then is the cumin seed which draws souls like doves to the window. It is the gold that overlays the temple of God, the church, to make men love it when they see its beauty. People are afraid to live in a place haunted with evil spirits, but can hell itself possibly house anything worse than the spirit of division? Christians, agree with one another, and your numbers will increase. The early Christians continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, Acts 2:46. And notice what followed their fellowship. They had favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The world was such a stranger to real love that it was probably amused at first and then curious as to what kind of heavenly doctrine could soften men's hearts, plain their rugged nature, join them into this family of love. And these things helped to persuade many out of the world and into the church. But tragically, the gold dulled. I mean, peace among Christians faded, and gaping holes were seen in the church. These flaws were so obvious that passers-by were afraid to enter it. Here and there, Gentiles were almost persuaded to embrace the Jewish religion, but became cautious because of the divisions and offenses embedded in it. And by this Jewish religion, he means the Christian religion that has come out of Judaism. O Christian, do not let such sins as divisions and strifes harden your life. Do you not fear God too much to lay a stumbling block for men to break their necks over, to to roll the stone over a sinner's grave and seal him down in it? Well, even as you keep yourself free of the blood of those who die in their sin, be careful not to contribute to the hardening of impenitent souls through dissensions in the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you again for listening. Next time, we'll go to a section called Peace with Creation, and another section, Why is it called the Preparation of the Gospel of Peace? For more audios that I think will bless you, please go to the top of my webpage, sermonaudio.com/aservant70, if you're not there already, and choose from the list of over 200 topics that represent 3,500 audios. Our daily readings are retrievable as a podcast, and you can download the app. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.